Good morning, Moshe Zelig.
Good morning.
Good morning, Rav Nachum. Our dear friend of David Sandel just wrote me an email. He's back in the States already, so he will not be joining us for a while. Okay, you can still hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I've got to finish a little bit early today. Why is it keeping going off? I have to give a shir actually somewhere in Ramah Aleph. Is there a shul on Dolev, no, called a KBS or KSY or something like that?
Yes, that's Rabbi Haber. Shul. That's Rabbi Haber.
Right, so I'm going to give a shir there this morning. So someone's come to pick me up at 20 past nine. So let's start straight away. We're in the Gemara and Daf Yud Aleph Omad Beis. We really need to put on the gas a little bit because I'd like to try Be'ezus Hashem to finish the perek by the end of Zman. Next week will be I'm not sure what we're going to do next week. Sunday is Erev Yom Tov, Monday and Tuesday is Rosh Hashanah, Wednesday is Tzom Gedalia, Thursday we don't learn. So we're a little bit tight, so we have to get a move on. Says the Gemara.
I don't know if you can do anything about it. Friday, after Tzom Gedalia, I'm going to the Kever. My wife's the art site is Shabbos Shuva.
And it's on Shabbos, right? We were just recalling it here today. We were just recalling it. Yep, sure. Wow.
So I'm going to the Kever at 11 o'clock Friday.
That's next. Right, Friday before Yom Kippur, right?
Yeah.
Then Neshama Shav and Ali and Gan Eden and Mitzvashim.
A new baby girl was named for my wife yesterday in Shul.
Oh, really?
I was very surprised, yeah.
What, in the grocery?
Yeah.
Who is this?
I don't know if you remember Liba Rosenthal. She does kiddushes and simchas and stuff. Her daughter, Freda Bela, whom we met when we came in Aliyah when she was 7 years old, had a girl earlier in the week. And they were always at our house, and very close to my wife. And
This is not the first one, I take it.
Not their first child. No, they had twin girls.
No, is this the first child that's been named for your wife?
Yes.
Wow, how special. How special. Yeah, we remember her very, very well. And Isha Gedela be Yisrael.
Name.
We always recall your wife as being very majestic. There's no other word. Even when she was struggling health-wise, she was always very majestic. She always had a very special dignity.
Yeah.
Fond memories of you and her. At the time, it was in our garden, in our sukkah, but now it's yours.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Tanan Hosam says the Gemara is quoting a Mishnah in Tomid. Mishnah in Tomid.
Where are we? I'm sorry.
You're the Aleph on the base. Of course, as ever happens, just as you're learning a sugya, you get a shayla on that topic. Somebody called me, bless him, at 1:40 this morning.
Oh.
But, to be honest, I guess he knew that I was still up because we had slichas in shul at 12:35 and I only finished at about 1:25. So he called me at 1:40 with a wonderful shayla. He davened slichas, but it's very hard for him to stay up that late. So he went to sleep for a couple of hours beforehand. Meaning he went to bed, let's say at 10 o'clock in the evening, slept for 2 hours till 12 o'clock, and then got up at 12 o'clock. So what was his question? Mamish, our topic. Does he say Birkas HaTorah in the night? And what? And then he's after slichas, he's going back to bed again. So does he say Birkas HaTorah in the morning as well? So if you remember, we learned the Mishnah Berurah says, if you stay up the whole night, then there's a whole shayla. But if you go to bed, even for part of the night, even the Betchilas Laila, it says that you should say Birkas HaTorah. The Lechayra at 12 o'clock at night, he's going to say Birkas HaTorah. The question is, if he goes back to bed, what does he do in the morning? Does he have to say it again or not? Told them I have to double check. Either way, let's look at the Gemara. It says the Mishnah. Tanan Hasam, this is quoting a Mishnah in Tomid, where they had what's called, as Rashi describes, the Sgan HaKoyanim, the Skan HaKoyanim. We know we had the Kohen Gadol, but we had somebody who was in charge of the Kohanim. He was the Skan, and he used to direct operations in the Beis HaMikdash and instruct the Kohanim what to do every day. Rabbi Yosef, are you with us?
We can't see you.
You're hiding.
Oh, I see. I know what to do.
Okay, no, it's just good to see you. Oh, there you are.
Sorry.
You're there, Baruch Hashem. Says the Gemara, Tanan Asam, Omar Lohem Hamamuna. The Mamuna, the one who was appointed to charge of taking charge of the Kohanim, used to tell the Kohanim, right, this is what you have to do now. They used to get up very, very early in the morning, the Kohanim, in preparation for the day's work in the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Moshe Zelig, you have to listen to this carefully. This will be you, Mitz Hashem, shortly. Borchu Brocha Achas. Number one, you have to make a Brocha, Brocha Achas. Now, it's not clear which Brocha were they referring to. They're telling the Kohanim, you've got to daven and you've got to say Brocha Achas. So Rashi explains that this was a bracha before Kriya Shema, but it's not clear which one is being referred to. It says the Gemara, V'heim Baruch Hu, they made that bracha. Then V'koru Aseres Adibrois. Then they used to recite Aseres Adibrois. Then they used to say Shema, V'hoyoim Shemoya, V'yoimer, U'berchu Esa'om Gimel Brachois. They used to make a bracha. How many brachas? Just three brachas. Emes v'yatziv v'avoida u'berkas kainin. They did not say the whole Shemona Esra. U'b'Shabbos moisifin bracha achas. On Shabbos, there used to be moisif an extra bracha. We know that the kayanim were split up into what's called mishmoros, different groups, and they used to switch on Shabbos. So on Shabbos, the outgoing mishmar would leave, the ingoing mishmar would arrive. And the ingoing Mishmar used to give a bracha to the outgoing Mishmar to bless them and thank them for all their work that they've done over the course of the last week. So have a look at Rashi. It's quite a bit of Rashi. Tanan Hasam. The Mesech does Tomid Omar Lohem Amamuna Vahu Sgan HaKoyanim. He is the Sgan, the vice Koyan, as it were. It says in Yuma, it says Hainu Skan, Hainu Mamuna. Skan and Mamuna is the same thing. Baruch Hu Brocha Achas. The Kamon Mefarish Maihi. Later on, we'll explain what exactly is being referred to, which Brocha of the Kriya Shema is being referred to. And of course, this is why we're learning it. Umina Brocha Shalifnei Kriya Shemahi. It certainly is one of the Brochas prior to Kriya Shema. Dohasam Mesadeir Lekulei. Because they were Masada, they organized for them all Seder Avoidas Hashachar, the morning's Seder for the Kohenim Bekomar. After they used to organize all the limbs of the Korbanos on the slope up to the Mizbeach, Umilchom, and they used to salt them. Yardu, they went down, Ubolem, Alishkas Hagozis, Likreis Shema. He came to the Lishkas HaGozes, he recited Shema with them. And then it says, he used to tell them, Amamuna Baruchu Birka Achas, Vehim Baruchu, they did so, V'koru Aseres Adibris, U'birku Es Ha'om, Im Ha'om, V'avoido, Bishvil O Avoido, She'osu Ho'im Baruchin Achareho. Because they did avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, so they used to make a bracha. Which bracha? They used to say, Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu, Avoid Asamcho Yisrael, V'ishe Yisrael, Usfilosom sekabel berotzen baruch hamakabel avoidas amo Yisrael berotzen. A beautiful bracha, Moshe Zelig. I think you start learning it off by heart. A special bracha that the avoida that I performed in the Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should accept it. Inami, alternatively, says Rashi, maybe another suggestion. Shoyscha levadcha beyiron na avoid. That we should be zeicher to be oived in the Beis HaMikdash for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Uberkas koyanim levorech esom. But u'b'shar tefillah, says Rashi, loy hoya lohem p'nai. There was not time for the rest of davening, but after zman kriya shema loy higia, etc., etc., etc. We will miss this out for the moment. Now, go back into the Gemara. Says the Gemara, my bracha achas. What does it mean that the person in charge of the kohenim used to tell them, make a bracha, which one? Bracha achas. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, Kihod Rab Abba Rab Yesi Ba Abba, both Rab Abba and his son Rab Yesi, Iklu Lahu Asra, they found themselves in a particular place. Bo'u Minayu, and the question was asked of them, Mai Bracha Achas? What does this mean? It's very, very vague in the Mishnah when it says that the Skan used to tell them, make a Bracha Achas. It doesn't say, however, which Bracha this is referring to. And the answer is, they did not know. Loi hava biyodayu, literally translated, it was not in their hands, meaning they were unable to answer. Va'asu shailu l'Rav Masna, and they came to ask Rav Masna, loi hava biyodayu. It wasn't in his hands either, he was unable, nobody knew. What does this Mishnah mean? Eventually, asu shailu l'Rav Yehuda, they came to Rav Yehuda, omalahu hochi omar Shmuel, ahava rabo. That's the bracha achas. Omer of Zrika, Omer of Abi, Omer of Shimon ben Lakish. No, it's referring to Yotzer Ayr. That's the main bracha. So not that the Kohenim were told to say Ava Rabba, but rather they were told to say Yotzer Ayr, Uvayre Choshech, Oyser Shalom, etc., etc. Now, says the Gemara, Ki also Rav Yitzchok Bar Yosef, when Rav Yitzchok Bar Yosef came along, Omar, he said the following, Hoder Rav Zrika, that which Rav Zrika is reported to have said, that the bracha being referred to is Yotzer Oyr, you should know that Lav Beferush Itmar, he didn't actually say so explicitly. Yes, it was said in his name, but he didn't say so absolutely explicitly. Ela michlala itma. Rather, it can be deduced from what he said, but he didn't say it clearly. There is something that he said that can lead us to this conclusion. That's true. But he didn't actually say it clearly. What did he say? The Omer of Zrika, Omer of Ami, Omer of Shimon ben Lakish. Zois oimeres. Brochois ein ma'akvois zu es zu. That's all he said. Rav Zirika said, this teaches us, what teaches us? Look at Rashi. On the first wide line, Zoisei meres, the k'tani birku brocha achas. If it says in the Mishnah that they only made one brocha, so Rav Zrika commented on that and he said, ah, that proves that brochois ein ma'akvois zu ezu. Now, what does that mean, brochois loy ma'akvois zu ezu? We know, for example, if you shake a lulav, you first have to make a bracha and then you shake the lulav. If you sit in the sukkah, you first make a bracha and then you sit in the sukkah. And what happens if you did the mitzvah and you didn't make the bracha? I shook the lulav, but I didn't make a bracha. Am I yotzer the mitzvah? Absolutely. Because even though Chazal instituted, you've got to make the bracha, but the bracha is not ma'akev. What does that mean? It's not ma'akev. It does not withhold the fulfillment of the mitzvah. If you made perform the mitzvah without making the bracha, you are also yotzei. So here we have a question. Rav Zirika is talking about brachos. He does not at this stage say explicitly, and that's why the Gemara says he didn't say absolutely explicitly what he is referring to. But he says, I know that brachos are not ma'akev zu es zu. Do not withhold, do not prevent one or the other. What happens if this morning you only had a tefillin shel yad and you did not have a tefillin shel rosh? Do you put on the tefillin shel yad?
Yes.
You do. In other words, we do not say that there's one mitzvah which has two components and you either have all or nothing. It's not all or nothing. Do any of you remember, I'm not sure if Reliyahu David, maybe we'll remember, maybe Ramosha Zelig. There used to be a very, very special yid, used to daven in the Graal Shul, it's unfortunately not alive anymore, Mr. Shmuel Stimler.
Of course I remember him.
Remember him?
Yes.
Ramesh Hazelik, you remember him?
I do not. It's before my time, I think.
Holocaust survivor.
You certainly remember him.
Holocaust survivor.
He was a Holocaust survivor, and he, on one Tisha B'Av in the Groshul, it was on the caravan on Nachal Luzda, he actually spoke after Tisha B'Av Kinnis. And he spoke about his experiences. I think he was in Heidenbergen-Belsen or Auschwitz. He did not say the story, but when I spoke to him afterwards, then he told me the story. He didn't say it in his speech. But he told me that at a young age, he was not married. He was taken away from his family, even long before he got to Auschwitz or Bergen-Belsen, I don't remember. And of course, it was very, very difficult times, but he had with him three things. This is what he told me. He had with him a small amount of money. He had with him some small photographs of his family, parents, his siblings. And he had with him a pair of tefillin. Those are the three things that he somehow managed to smuggle and take with him from wherever he went, from place to place. And he was very marked, but he put on tefillin every day. When he was taken to the concentration camp, all of it got taken away from him. He said, the money got taken away from me, that was very difficult. The photos got taken away from me, that was even harder. But he said, the tefillin got taken away from me, that was the hardest. What am I going to do now? That's it, I can't even carry tefillin. They took away his clothes, as they did, and they gave him the famous, infamous striped uniform, black and white striped uniform, or green and white, black and white uniform. He put on his trousers, his pants, and then he put on the jacket. And he felt in the jacket pocket there was something there. He didn't dare put his hand in it or take out whatever was there in front of the Nazi guards, Yimach Shemam, but he disappeared off into a quiet corner and he found in it, in the pocket, a tefillin shol rosh. Without a tefillin shol yad. So he said he was very moved because on the one hand, it was very tragic because clearly whoever owned in the past, this tefillin shel Roish was clearly no longer alive, had been murdered. But on the one hand, on the other hand, here he was shown an unbelievable sign, min hashamayim. There in the middle of a concentration camp, he was zeicher to put on tefillin. But he said to me, I remember with a smile, he said, oh, there was a whole shaila afterwards, what bracha do I make? Do I make one bracha, do I make two brachas? It's a whole shaila. I'll call upon him, I think, remember his wife, is his wife still alive?
Yes, she's living in Kiryat Sefer.
Kiryat Sefer, right. So we have mitzvahs which are not ma'akev du ezu. What happens if you have a lulav, an esrog, and a hadassin, but you've got no aravos? Do you shake three of them? The answer is no. Because there is one mitzvah and it's called arba minim. If you have all four, that's great. If you don't, it's a waste of time. There's no such thing as three or two or one. So there, the mitzvahs are ma'akvois zu'ezu. They prevent, they withhold the fulfillment of each other. Masha'in kein tefillin is not the case. Tefillin, if you have one without the other, then it's not ma'akiv. So Rav Zirika is commenting on a series of brachas. Pashtas, the brachas of Kriya Shema. And he says the brachas are not ma'akiv zu'ezu. If you have one without the other, you've done something. It's not a waste of time. So look at Rashi now. Brachos ein ma'ak v'zu'ezu in bireches ha'achas v'loi bireches ha'shnio. If you made a bracha on one without the other, nafka you are yoytze miho at least, yedei chayvoso is obligation b'hahi shebirch. On the one that you made a bracha over. At least you are yoytze that particular bracha, namely the one that you actually recited. The ein chaverto, and the other one is not going to be ma'akev, will not prevent him, loyma, to say that she'ein zu mo'eles beloy zu, that one doesn't help without the other. Now, let's stop. The skan koyanim, again, as told in the Mishnah, rather vaguely, said to the Kohenim, make one bracha. And Rav Zirika said, oh, this teaches me that brachos are not ma'akiv. If all the brachos are ma'akiv, meaning it's either all or nothing, then what on earth is the point of telling them to do one bracha? No such thing as one bracha. So Rav Zirika said, I must hereby therefore arrive at the inescapable conclusion, the brachos are not ma'akiv. You can have one without the other, and that way, and only that way, we can understand that the Kohenim said, make one bracha. That is all Rav Zirika said. How do I see in Rav Zirika's statement that the bracha being referred to is Yotzer Oir and not Ahava Rabo? So Rashi just says, Umehocha Shoma Rav Zirika, the Sfira Leil Rishlokish, the Hach Bracha, Achas is Yotzer Oiri. From here we see that Rav Zirika must have understood that the bracha being referred to is Yotzer Oir. Remember, the Gemara quoted Rav Zirika as saying that this solitary bracha is Yotzer Oir, but the Gemara explained he never said so clearly. There's a statement that he issued from which we can extrapolate that Yotzer Oir is, in his opinion, the bracha that was recited, but he never spelled it out. So what did he say? And let's try and work it out. He said, clearly, if the Kohenim are only making one bracha, then the brachas are not ma'akiv. You can have one without the other. Okay. But how is there any hint in that line bracha he was referring to? So look back in the Gemara. It's on the second last line. If you tell me that it's Yotzer Oir, remember this is the question, is it Yotzer Oir or is it Ava Rabo? It must be he was referring to Yotzer Oir. How do we know? How do we know? Remember, what time of day is this all taking part?
Morning.
It's so early, early in the morning, it's not even arrived yet at the Zman of Kriya Shma. Says the Gemara, Bishleima Yotzer Oir Hava. If you tell me that the solitary bracha that was being made is Yotzer Oir, then have a omri, that's what they were saying. Then hainu, that's what he means. The brachos ein ma'akvos zuezu. Then I understand, Rashi will explain to us in a moment. Then I understand what he means that the brachos are not ma'akiv. Elo, why? Deloy ka omri avo rabo. Elo, top line, we'll translate and explain. Elo, e omrat avo rabo, have a omri. But if you tell me that the bracha that they said was actually Ava Rabba, my bracha is Eima Akve Zuezu. Dilma, Hay Deloy Omri Yetzer Oir, Mishum Deloy Mota Zman Yetzer Oir, Uvechi Mota Zman Yetzer Oir, Ava Omri.
Why are they making these brachos if it's not even the time for Kriya Shema?
Okay, so let's have a look at Rashi. Says Rashi, second bottom line. E omrat bishleima yotzer oir hava omri. If you tell me that the bracha that they said was yotzer oir, v'loy ahava rabo and not ava rabo, he refers to your question of nachum. V'af al gav de moti leizimna. Even though it is considered that the time has arrived. De mota means it's arrived. What do you mean the time has arrived? I thought you told me, Rashi, in a previous Rashi, that it's not yet the Zman of Kriya Shema. Make up your mind. What do you mean it's Moti Le Zimna, the time has come? So Rashi explains, She'af Balaylo Ra'u Loimar. Because essentially, even at Laylo, when you say Kriya Shema Balaylo, essentially there also you should say these brachas. So if you wake up at 4 in the morning, even though it might be absolutely pitch dark, says Rashi, that's called Mota Zimni. It might not be the time of Kriya Shema, but the time of the brachas has arrived. Because essentially the Kriya Shema that you said at night demands these brachas. Kol Shekein Dekiven Da'omri Yoytze Oyer Vaday Matya Zimni, if they said the bracha, certainly it was the right time. Vafilu hachi, nonetheless, loy omri elo yoitzer oir. Vesur loy omri lo. And they never said anything else. Then I understand, hainu de koma, that's what he meant when he said that shma mino brachas ein ma'akbe zu ezu. If the bracha that they were saying was yoitzer oir, as Rashi explains, and we're going to consider, it's a chidush, as Rav Nachum asked, we're going to consider this as the time has arrived, albeit not of Kriya Shema, but yes, at least of the brachas. And the very fact that they were saying Yotzer Oir, but they were not saying Ahavor Abba, that's what Rav Zrika meant when he said, apparently the brachas are not ma'akev. How can you say one without the other? Says Rashi at the top now, Eloi Omrit. But if you're going to tell me that, no, they never said Yotze Oir, to the contrary, they only said Avo Rabo. Remember, this is our discussion. Was the solitary bracha that they said Yotze Oir or Avo Rabo? Did they say Yotze Oir and not Avo Rabo? Or did they say Avo Rabo and not Yotze Oir? Now, let's just press pause for a moment. Surely, whichever one they said, it's a machlokes, it's true. But everybody agrees they did say one and they didn't say the other. So wouldn't Reb Zarika be right to say, whichever bracha is the one they're saying and whichever is the one that they're not saying, isn't he entirely correct pointing out that apparently the brachas are not ma'akev? At the end of the day, you're saying only one without the other. So how does that prove? Remember again, Rav Zrika never spelled out that the bracha that was said was Yetzer Oyer. The Gemara says we can extrapolate it from his words. How can we extrapolate it? All he said was that if you said one bracha without the other, then apparently one without the other is okay. They're not ma'akiv. That's a very innocuous statement. Where is there any hint whatsoever to the fact that the bracha is Yetzirah. Maybe it was in fact Avo Rabo. This is what this Rashi is coming to point out. Look at the top Rashi. Eloi Omrit that Hach Brocha de Komri Avo Rabo. If you're going to tell me that the Brocha that was said was actually not Yetzirah, it was Avo Rabo, then I'm sorry to tell you, Heichi Shma Mino. Then where can you possibly learn from this? The Ein Ma'akvizuz. Where's the proof? Dilma, hi, deloy omri yaitzer oir, mishum deloy motazim nahu. Maybe the reason why they're not saying yaitzer oir is because the time has not arrived. Nachum asked before, what's the point of saying the brachas if the time hasn't arrived? So Rashi previously said, well, in theory, maybe you can consider that the time arrived because it's at least the Zman of Kriya Shema of Laila. But maybe not. Maybe the reason why they didn't say Yotzer Oir was simply because it's not yet the Zman. Yishum Deloi Mota Zimna, V'chi Mota Zimna, but when the time eventually came, maybe Omrula, maybe they jolly well did say Yotzer Oir later on when it came daylight. V'afal Gav, Dekoru Inu Kriya Shema, even though they did say Kriya Shema in the morning, but Loi Mota Zimna, that's still not considered that the time has arrived. And Rashi brings a whole proof, which we won't get involved with now. Yoytzer Oir Uvori Choshech, you can only say when the time has arrived. So maybe the time hasn't arrived. Whereas Avo Rabo is a general bracha for Torahs that you can say even in the night. So how can you bring a proof that the brachas are not ma'akev? Maybe really they're Arma Akev, and you've got to say both of them. He hasn't said Yetzer yet because the time hasn't arrived. And when the time does arrive, then he will say it. So how can you conclude from over here the brachas and Arma Akev? So it must be that, no, they actually said Yetzer Oir and not Avo Rabo. Oh, you said Yetzer Oir. So you're considering that the time has arrived. So why did you say Yetzer Oir, not Avo Rabo? Oh, that proves that the brachas are not ma'akiv. So either way, this is what the Gemara means when it says that Rav Zrika never spelled out clearly that the bracha being recited is Yetzer Oir, but certainly it can be extrapolated from what he pointed out. Okay, as I mentioned, I do have to finish a little bit early, so we're going to have to press pause over here. Emitz Hashem, we'll continue this Gemara, and we'll work our way down the Omer tomorrow. Oh.